And Victoria, are you there? Okay, I'm not sure if she sees the... Okay, so Brigitte or Pascal, do you have any questions?
I sent the question to you, Femke.
Yes, it was quite a long question. Let me...
Yes, I sent it.
Let me take a look at it. Because it had to do with meta questions, right? And,
yes.
And which ones of the well-formed outcome questions are meta questions?
Yes.
Let me see. Mm. Oh, here's your email. So it was basically about the can we and have we question.
Yes.
Can we, right?
Yeah, because Michael has marked them as meta questions in the newsletter we got once. And I have hard to understand why, have you ever done that? And you answer yes or no. How is that a meta question?
Yeah, I would not determine have you as a meta question.
No.
I mean, ultimately, what you're doing, like with have you done that before, of course, you have to like go inside and check, okay, have I done that before? You have to kind of go back on your timeline and review, have you done that before? I think like with can you do that? Then you have to take a step back and reflect. So you have to go meta in order to answer that question. So with can you have to go to reference experience in the past and then go meta to those reference experiences to see, can I do that? And what parts of that can I do that? So that would be a meta question. Have you, for me, is it's searching in your reference experiences, but you're not necessarily going up a level. You're just going, hey, I'm back in my history. Have I done that before? Yes or no?
No.
So, and then you also asked if the coachee answers yes, is that a belief that the coachee can do it?
Yes.
I think that's a really good question. It's pretty similar to having confidence in something. And because even if your client hasn't got, you know, doesn't have reference experiences, and they might still believe that they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can do that. I haven't done it before, but I can still do it. It would be a belief. And either that belief is founded by, you know, how do you say that? Grounded in evidence or not. But it's the same with confidence. Because if Csikszentmihalyi always says that, you know, like you have challenge and it's perceived challenge, and then you have skill, but it's perceived skill.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, it is perceived, but, and that's what you can then test. Can you really do it? Like what is, you know, if you have a sense of like, you might not be able to do it, do you have evidence that you can do it?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can check that. But I would say, from my point of view, can you is a meta question. Have you? Not so much, because you go in, but you don't go up. Does that make sense?
No, especially if I've never done it, and if I like have never been in the neighborhood of it, I think it's just simple no.
Yeah.
It's an exploration question, or testing, or whatever.
Well, yeah, then you can explore. Yeah. Yeah, well, it would be a testing question.
Yeah, because most of those questions are testing questions, except for evidence, the evidence question. But the others are like yes or no questions.
Yeah.
And that's why I like, for me, it's a bit weird that test questions can also be meta questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
But perhaps,
well, the end of the distinction, sorry, the distinction is, do I need to go in and up, or does it go down and out? So that's part of, you know, with have you, for me, that is going in, because you're not going thinking outside. But but you don't go up, you don't go meta at all. So for me, that it's not a meta question. It's still a grounded, you know, you're basically grounding it, looking for a reference experience.
Okay, because that's fine. Because I'm benchmarking people, and it's not good to know what is meta questions and not meta questions.
Yeah. Yep. So
thank you, Femke.
Yes, you're welcome. I think Victoria has now joined us. Hi, Victoria.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good, too.
Very good. So we're still in the questions part. So do you have any questions that you would like me to answer?
I just have a follow-up from the last session we had, where I think, Birgitte, you were about to send the latest version of the benchmarking form, and I recall that you did something on Facebook Messenger, right?
I sent it to Femke.
Ah, okay.
And it is, Victoria, it is, excuse me, but if you go to the MetaCoach Foundation Norway page in Facebook,
yeah,
and you look there under files, you will find it there.
Okay, because I remember that I tried to find it, but I couldn't, and then the process sort of just ended for me, and now I just recognize that I still don't have it.
but it is there, but I can send it, but because it the name is Form 32 or something like that.
Yeah, but that's good. If it's easy to go in and see under files, then I might have missed that part. So I'll just try again, Birgitte. That's good. And then I would just ask you to, can you tune down your microphone a little bit, because it's getting very sharp in my ears, and I can see that I cannot turn the sound down, because then Femke will drop out.
Okay, I try.
Oh, is that Finnegan?
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't do it here.
Oh, cute.
My babysitter couldn't make it this morning.
So now he's learning coaching the real stuff.
Yeah. I don't
never
know
too soon to stop.
So I thought I had put it on the resources as well, but I'll check, and if I haven't done that, I will add it as well under.
Okay.
So if you sign in on the website, then on the right hand side you see a resource subscribe to change, I think, or ACMC revisited resources, and there's a page with the documents there.
Okay. I'll look for it again. Thank you.
Sounds good. Okay, any other questions?
I was wondering about the last piece of the recording for the session. I can see it.
Hold on. Can you repeat that, Pascal? I couldn't hear you.
The resources for the recording of last session we had.
Is it not up there? Oh.
Not that I see it. I'm looking right now.
Oh, okay. I might have just uploaded it then and not put it on the website.
And I also don't see the benchmarking form. The latest one is May 2016.
Okay. Then I think I might have just uploaded those and not put them on the pages. So I'll do that once we get off the call. Okay, so then we're ready for a coaching session. Who would like to do the coaching today?
I would like to do the coaching.
Okay, perfect. And who has a topic that they'd like to be coached on?
That was worse.
Not all at once. Birgitta, do you have a topic?
Not. Yeah, I have a topic.
Okay, great. Perfect. Otherwise, I was going to say maybe Victoria can coach Finnegan to sleep through the night.
Yeah. For sure. No problem. No problem.
Okay, so Pascal, is there any skill that you would like to benchmark?
How about questioning?
Okay, that sounds good. So Victoria, I'm going to set my timer for 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Pascal, if you could mute yourself, I'm going to mute myself as well. If you have any questions, then just let me know. And if I feel that it's beneficial for you that I interrupt, then I will do so. Otherwise, I'll just let you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will let you know 5 minutes in advance that that you have 5 minutes left.
Super.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Time's yours.
Thank you very much. So, Birgitta, thank you for coming up with a topic that you would like to be coached upon. So, we have 25 minutes today, and as I know that you are aware of most of the frames as I am, I will go more directly into the coaching, well knowing that 5 minutes before time is up, Sandra will interrupt us and say that we have 5 minutes left to wrap up and get the best out of the coaching session as we can. And maybe she will also come on.
Yeah, and I couldn't do anything about my microphone. I tried, but I couldn't. So
okay, then we just take it as it is. That's all right. So and maybe Femke will also interrupt us along the way if she feels or hears or thinks that she can support us, and especially me. In getting the best coaching session for you. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
That's super. So, Birgitta, what would you like to talk about today? What is really important for you to get out of the next 25 minutes?
I was coached, was it? Yesterday, yes. And sorry that there will be a continuation of that. So it's very much about my identity now. Who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like officially retired, and I'm not anymore a research director that I was before. And I'm changing my coaching practice. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for my identity. Who am I now?
Yeah?
Because I want to be something more than a retired person.
Ah, okay. So tell me a little bit more about that. You want to change for something from being a retired person? So
yeah.
What is being a retired person for you?
Yeah, for me, a retired person is a person who is... has drawn back, sitting in her chair and doing not very much, reading the newspapers, watching TV, watching grandchildren, taking care of family, yes.
Yeah.
But so for me, retired is like withdrawn from the world and society.
Withdrawn from the world and society.
And I don't want to be that.
Okay. So what do you hear, see, and feel when you are in that identity, when you're having it like that?
Yeah, then I feel lazy. I feel I'm not doing anything that's worthwhile.
Yeah?
I don't see very much.
Okay, you don't see very much.
And I tell myself you should do something meaningful.
So you should do something meaningful. Is that what you say to yourself when you feel like the retired person sitting back and not getting anything done, withdrawn from society? Is that what you tell yourself?
And also that I have a belief that I have got a lot of knowledge and experiences in my life, and I would like to use that. I would like to use myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about how does it make you feel to sit there and not doing anything and feel withdrawn from society and not doing anything worthwhile? How does that make you feel?
That's make me feel worthless, like a lazy person with no ambition.
Okay. So, and how does that make your life a party?
Well, it doesn't make my life a party.
It doesn't make your life. So that's the issue. That's the important point here. Is that right?
Yes. I want something more.
You want something more. So tell me then, what is it you want more of?
Yeah, I want more. I would like to do use all my knowledge and experience that I have gained during my life to something that is meaningful for me and for others.
Mm-hmm. So use your knowledge and experience to do something meaningful for you and for others.
Yes.
Yeah. So what would that be for you to do something meaningful?
Yeah, because then I feel that that I'm needed.
That you're needed. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that I can give my contribution to some people or the society or something like that. Yes.
Mm.
I'm a contributor.
So a contributor.
So
when you use your experience and your knowledge to do something meaningful, then you feel needed and you're a contributor to something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would that mean to you to be there and be contributor?
Yeah, because that would be meaningful for me. That would be a little, I'm not just here for myself. I'm here for something bigger than me.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
So that could be, also I'm searching for my mission in life, actually.
Yeah. So when you're that contributor for yourself and for others, what importance would that carry for you to be there?
It would be very important because now I have the opportunity. I mean, like, if I just know what to do, I have freedom, I have time, I have money enough to probably do most of the things I could think of doing.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me more about being that contributor, using your knowledge and experience to do more for both yourself and for others. What would that give you?
What it would get me? It would get that I feel needed, that I don't know. So it's very words on a very high level, like meaning and important task in life.
Yeah. So feeling needed
would bring me joy.
Well, come again. I didn't get that last time.
It would bring me joy.
It would give you joy.
Yes.
So you would feel needed and it would give you joy. Would it give you even more?
Yeah. And it also one more thing that I want to have in this my third career, and that is also constantly learning. I'm a learner, and that I know. I want to learn new things all the time because I'm just like learning.
Yeah.
And I like mastering. I like learning, so that I have to work quite hard to learn what I want to learn. And that's, and when I then accomplish doing that, that gives me a lot of pleasure.
What kind of pleasure gives that to you? What kind
that
of pleasure?
I master. I work for it and I master it.
So when you feel needed and you get that joy and you get into learning and you feel the mastery, what does that give to you? Does that give you even more?
Oh, isn't this enough?
It is very much and very big. That's very, absolutely. I'm just checking if you have even more.
You know, I have the belief that I'm not a visionary person. So that has been my, like, I have been more down to earth and doing, you know, what's on the table.
Okay.
And working up there in the skies with visions.
So what I hear you saying is that you feel needed, you will get the pleasure of joy, you will learn, you will feel mastery. That's quite visionary.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't regard it as a vision. It's on the way, so it's something in between.
Yeah. So how important does this feel to you?
It feels important to me because I might have 30 more years to live or something.
Yeah.
So to use those 30 years in a good way.
Yeah.
It's important. And so, also, I want, as my new idea is to work with other people that are retired or thinking of retirement, I would like to work with them with the same kind of questions.
Yeah, so you already have some ideas on how to do it.
Yeah, so like I have to walk the talk myself before I can be coach for people that are in my situation, I believe.
Yeah, to walk the talk is important to get that to work. Yeah, so what is walk the talk for you?
Yeah, that is, I would like to coach other people to find their third career and what to do now when they are retired.
Yeah.
I would be more confident in doing that if I had found it myself.
Yeah. Yes. So finding yourself and your identity, what I hear from now is that you would like to change from having a picture of you being a retired person leaning back to a contributor that is leveraging your knowledge, your experience to experience joy and learning and mastery for yourself and others. Mm-hmm. So is that what we're going to spend the last part of our coaching on?
Yes, so because I like this with the contributors, it's to find like the roles I would play there in this new life. Because I think that would be some sort of compass for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Who am I now when I'm not that anymore?
Yeah. So in what context is it that you would like to see yourself as a contributor?
And that will be to other people in my situation who wants to find meaning in life and also be contributors.
Yeah.
Victoria, I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, Birgitta mentioned several things about what she believed about being retired, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I heard her say, right, like one of her first sentences, I am retired.
Yeah.
So she has that as a identity, and then she's given all these meanings to being retired.
Yeah.
So then I would want to give that back to her, like in an acknowledgement. So this is what I hear you say right now. You say, I am retired, and retired means this.
Yeah, good point.
Because then what do you need? You can, it seems like there's like a, how do you say that? An either or thinking going on. Like retired means this, and it can't be, retired can't mean that I'm a contributor, that I'm a learner.
Mm.
But she does have that identity. So then what I'd like you to do is to get, like, what is it specifically that we need to be working on? Because it might be reframing being retired so that it includes being a contributor. It might be saying no to that identity and taking on another identity. So first we want to figure out what is the outcome. What is it that Birgitta needs to get out of the session with you so that she can feel like a contributor or be a contributor?
Yeah, and my direction was to now try to go down the VSO in order to get the landscape right. So that was my direction, but maybe that's too much direction. Seen in the context that you just brought up. So I think
if you do that kind of like acknowledgement and then an analysis, then you can grab hold of the what really quickly and take that down the funnel.
Yeah, and energize the funnel by that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay.
So, Birgitta, coming back to your point of departure, you told me that you are retired.
Yeah.
And you also told me that you don't like the idea of being retired.
No.
So tell me a little bit about how does the contributor that you want to be, how does that relate to being retired?
So in my mind, then, a retired person is what I talked about, that is like with withdrawn from society in some sense. I talk to other people about being retired, I have the impression that many people mean that it means that then you are like staying at home, you are watching grandchildren and going to the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
like doing a job or something.
Yeah. So what is actually holding that frame for you?
Yeah, what's holding that frame is, I think that is the when I talk to people about being retired, that's like the answers I get. So it's I'm influenced from the people around me.
Yeah. So you have other beliefs about being retired, except for feeling withdrawn from society?
Of course I can, but for me, I would like to of course I know that you can make a lot of things when you are retired, and many people do. But for me, still the world retired. So if I tell somebody I'm a pensionist or I'm retired, but because I'm doing a lot of things anyway. I mean, today I have been working since 6 o'clock in the morning.
So you're not living according to your belief, but still that belief is putting some kind of guidance on how you see yourself.
It's like I'm struggling against that. I'm working to show that I'm not retired.
Okay. So
I do So it's like I have a fight here with a belief about retirement and what. So I have to prove myself.
Yeah.
I'm still working and I'm still going to the gym and I'm still walking in the mountains and all that.
So what would it take for you to put aside the beliefs or the frames that are coming from someone else and put your own belief into it?
Yeah.
What would that take? Can you do that?
I don't know. Because I have a great resistance to the word retired.
Towards the word retired? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So
tell me about when you say the word retired, what does that start in you? What kind of feelings? What do you hear, feel, or
That is like a person with no ambitions, I would say.
With no ambitions.
Yeah, that is what it is in my mind. Like given up, surrendered.
Yeah.
So, I make the best out of life as it is now, but like no big thoughts, no visions.
So if I can just feed it back to you, you are in a situation where you, as a fact, are retired. And you have a belief that when you're retired, then you have no ambitions, you have surrendered, you're withdrawn from society. Does it really work for you to keep that belief and frame of mind?
No, not for myself.
Okay.
So my solution, also one could be, okay, now I am retired, so now I can really do what I want and do self-realization, self-actualization. Now I really have an opportunity. That could be a belief that I could install instead.
Yeah. So now you have the time to really do self-realization. What else can you do when you're retired?
Because then I have the money, so I don't have to like work for money. So I can do what I like, and it's fun. And if I get some money for it, it's nice. But anyway, I can do it anyway.
Yeah. And what more?
What more?
What more would you like to put into being retired? To reframe it to something that is more useful for you.
I would like to put in that I'm wise.
That you're wise?
Retired persons are wise.
Yeah.
That's
really nice. So coming back to that, you would like to use your knowledge and your experience. You would like to, you now have the resources, the time to actually do something about this and be the wise person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there more you would like to put into being retired?
I think it's, I don't like that word.
You don't like the word?
Also, if you retire means that you go back in some way. I think we should change our vocabulary about people who have stopped ordinary working.
Yeah. So have you ever seen any other retired persons that are not living according to that belief?
Oh, yes, I have seen that, yes.
Okay.
So I know that.
So tell me a bit about them. What are they doing? What are you seeing them doing?
Victoria, I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment.
Yeah.
So this is where you might start to work really hard to kind of help Birgitta see a different, see retired in a different way. Mm. What I'd like you to do first is to test, whether that, because that seems like that is the problem, not liking it. She said that three times now, that she doesn't like the word retired.
Yeah.
And that what you can do is like some, you know, frame it like, you know, it's in coaching, we work with words and we give words meaning, and that's how they can turn against us. It sounds like this word is working against her. She's fighting that word.
Mm-hmm.
And she's spending so much energy fighting that word that she's, in that time, she's not contributing. She's not, what did she say, self-actualizing.
Mm-hmm. Withdrawn
she's not
from
learning.
Society. Yeah. Not worthwhile.
So, so I would confront her with that so that then you can get to that point where she, because otherwise if she says, like, I don't want to be a retired person, well, she is, isn't she? She
exactly.
She's retired.
Yeah.
So,
But just one question back, Femke, because I felt that that was what I actually did a little while ago, going back to say, so what you're saying and believe about being retired is da-da-da-da-da. Does that work for you? Is that really, no, it doesn't. And then she started to reframe it to some extent, but still having a lot of resistance. Then I'm thinking what can be a way to do it, and then... Because just metastating retired to something that makes sense to her, right now it doesn't seem to be enough because it's so stronger with her.
Right. And that's because and I think those were great, getting those the meta questions, because you got like a new matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is a question for her, first of all, does she want to do something about something with that word? Because that's all she's saying. Like, I don't like that word.
Mm.
And what I haven't heard you do is like, okay, how is that word a problem?
Yeah, and just taking it down to just being a word.
Yeah, exactly. So that she can make a decision, and do you want something else instead?
Yeah.
So testing that and then bringing it back to the walk, okay?
Yes.
Perfect. You have 4 minutes left.
Thank you. So, Birgitta, just giving you, feeding your back on what I've heard so far, is that you really have some resistance about the word being retired. So, some of the things that you connect to being retired is being withdrawn from society, having no ambitions, a person that has surrendered, and not doing anything, not being worthwhile. And what I also hear is that, as a matter of fact, you are retired. So do you really want to change something about your beliefs connected to that word?
I would like to change the word.
You would like to change the word?
Because, you know, we have changed words. You know, there are buzzwords. So people who were cleaning houses earlier, they had one name, but now they are environmental workers. And that's very nice. So if we could change the word retired person to something else.
So is it within your powers to actually change that word?
But if I can have, for example, if I can give myself a title then, that indicates, okay, I'm a pensionist, I get pension from my works that I had earlier, but I'm still like in full activity. And everyone understands that, okay, this means that this is a retired person filling her mission or something.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
So that would be wonderful to get a title.
Yeah, to call it something else.
Yeah, okay. So is it within your powers to actually create your own title, something that makes sense to you?
Yes, but I can create my own title, and if I'm lucky, I can get the bus one.
Yes.
And I can get it published, and I can write something about it, and I can get it published, you know, in seniorpolitik.no or something.
So if you can get your own title and you can write something about it and fill it with something meaningful, can you then live with the fact that you are retired?
Yes, then because then when I present myself to other people, I don't present myself as a pensionist or a retired person. I present myself as this very nice new title that I have invented.
Okay. So that would really work for you.
That would be a good task for me.
That's great. So then I propose that for our next session or somehow else, I would like to spare with you on that. If you would like to get some input or would like to talk to somebody about it, we can do that. We don't have more time to discuss this, to talk about this more today. But I'm really looking forward to following you on the way and see what kind of title and identity you're going to fill your resourceful life with. So that's, I think that's one of the last works. Do I have something to add before we close down the session today?
No, I think I really like this idea to invent a new world.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That's good, Birgitta.
Very fun.
Okay. So thank you very much for today.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Not bye completely.
Thank you, Birgitta. So, Birgitta, could you mute yourself so that you don't have any background sound? Victoria, how do you feel it went?
I really feel like 25 minutes is so little time. I think that I got to some important points. I'm sure that when I get the feedback, I didn't round enough or check enough or something like that. I have the feeling that there was a lot of things I could have grabbed hold of, like the belief not to be a visionary that came up too, and I let that go. I catched it a little bit along the way.
Right.
So the balance in trying to get the technicalities right and actually deliver something useful for Birgitta. That's a challenging dilemma, but it's fun and I learn a lot.
Oh, very good, very good. So I have done the benchmarking, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at all the things, all of the skills that were present that you did, so that you know to do those again next time, and what will take you to the next level.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. So we start with the skill of supporting. At a level 3, I counted that you set 3 frames in the beginning. So you talked about that you were going to get 5 minutes beforehand. I was going to let you know that 5 minutes were left, that I might be interrupting you. And also that Birgitta already knows the frame, so that's why you weren't going to do a lot of framing. In terms of acknowledgements, and that's something that I wanted to, I counted 6 acknowledgements, and most of your acknowledgements came towards the end of the conversation. And so in the beginning, what I noticed that you did was that you mentioned anything that Birgitta had said. So Birgitta said something and then you repeated it. And later on in the conversation, you started repeating back, okay, so this is what you said. And you kind of wrapped more information together. And that's really, I think if you do that earlier on in the conversation, that's really going to make it because you mentioned as an example like that you forgot certain things like being a visionary. Hey, honey bun. Sorry. You have to wait a little bit. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I've been there myself.
So
do we need a couple of minutes?
No, it's okay. So basically I would, because then you can bring back like, okay, so I hear you say that you don't want to not have a vision and that you don't want to be a retired person, that you want to be a contributor. And then you can ask her, what is it specifically in this conversation that you want to be talking about?
Serve her back her own menu, so to speak.
Exactly. You don't have to guess or decide, okay, I'm going to work with this. So that makes a big difference. So that's the main thing, and that's why we use those acknowledgments is in order to feed that back, and then you can follow it up with with either a testing question or with repeating the what question. That's one of the things that I think, one of the main pieces of advice that I would give you is ask more testing questions and bring it back to the what more. I counted one confrontation where you fed back, okay, so this is what you now think about being retired. How does that work for you? I would like you to use your voice more when you do that. So later on in the beginning of the conversation, and if you listen back, it was more monotonous and it sounded more like kind of researching. And then later on, I noticed that you started using your words to also induce the state. So start with that from the beginning as well.
Okay.
To take it to the next level, I would focus on identifying patterns, because that would make a big difference. She said at some point, she spoke about, well, there's influence from other people around me. Because she's doing all these things, and yet she's fighting the concept of being a retired person.
She gets it from outside.
She gets it from outside.
That was very clear.
So if she gets it from outside, how is she able to change the label? Because now I'm kind of thinking, what if she says to someone, she uses a different word, and someone else says, oh, so you're retired. She's still going to have to fight that.
Because she didn't get the fixed word back, and she's an external reference, as it sounded. By that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's where identifying patterns comes in. And then also challenging her on, or testing her on, that she thinks that that's the solution. Because she's still so very much in her own matrix of what of the beliefs that she has around retiree, that that seems like the most logical conclusion is, I'm going to just change the name. But there's something, a belief that in that case, that belief has not changed. Detecting patterns and doing the confrontation and testing.
So would you then, if it was identifying internal, external referent, would you then feed that back and ask again, is that what we're going to work with? Or, she knows a lot more than the people I normally coach. So Mm-hmm. If I should put that into the real world and say, okay, to me it sounds like you get your beliefs from somebody else, you get it from externally and not so much from yourself, then I would probably say something like, and I believe it would be more fruitful for you to be more balanced in that sense, so you get your own beliefs from inside and you get some checkpoints from the outside. Is that something we should work with, or how do you manage a situation like that?
I would ask the question is, how is that working for you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, you know, so it sounds like what you're doing letting other people decide for you what you being retired means.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use that question a lot. How's that working for you?
Yep.
And then a lot of the time, what I experience is that my client will start to laugh and say, no, well, it doesn't work. So then I bring it back to the testing question. Is that what we need to be working on? Is that what we need to change?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what do you want it to bring it more inside? And then that becomes the topic of the conversation.
Yeah.
But it might also be that, and that's what we also do acknowledgements for. So this is what we've got so far. You're letting other people decide. The word retirement, even though it's a behavior that you've done, I mean, she's also confusing her identity with it.
Mm.
You know, ultimately, what has really happened? She quit. She stopped working at a specific place, and we call that retired.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more to explore there, and to kind of meta model retired, being retired, so that she. Yeah. So that it doesn't have her. And that's also, let's say that Brigitta wasn't a meta coach and she didn't know anything about coaching. Then what you could do is do a little bit of training. So what we know in coaching is that we can have problematic relationships with words.
Mm.
And when that happens, the word itself can set us off and it turns against us. So it puts us in a bad state.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what is going on for you? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can ask, would you like to have a different relationship to that word?
Yeah.
Or how is the relationship with that word affecting you?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can, that's how, because right now, Brigitta was still so much in her model of the world with regards to that word. What we want is for her to step back and quality control it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're doing. It's, it's a word, but it sets you off, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So... any questions under supporting?
No, I'm just curious on the level I'm on. I'm zero two.
I haven't, this is difficult to check like the level because I'm unable to see you. So I'm unable to catch semantic space.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things count.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of acknowledgments and framing, I would say that that's pretty much like for operating at a level 2.5, it's the amount that we are listening for.
Mm-hmm.
Energy-wise and voice-wise, you were matching with Brigitta. So all of that is there, which would indicate that you're operating at a level 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we can't do anything with semantic space and
no.
the visual.
Which also means that you can actually never check us out on a phone session like this.
I know. What you then need to do is to record a video and send that.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, but overall, I would say that for the skills that you're showing or that not showing, because it's, but from what I can hear, it would be on a level 2.5.
Okay. Yep. Thank
you. For the skill of listening, under clarity checks of words, so, and, you know, encouragers are all there. Clarity checks of words, I counted 2, walking the talk and retired person.
Mm-hmm.
Some words that I was curious about is that she talks about identity. I don't know what she means with that.
Mm-hmm.
Contributor and contribute. Struggling against. She's struggling and she has to prove herself. What does that mean? I don't know what she means with that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the words that I think if you even just identity,
mm-hmm.
if you had grabbed hold of that and deconstructed that and asked meta model questions about it, then mm-hmm. you get a really clear idea of how that relates to being a retired person.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 clarity checks, we're looking for 4. And contributor and identity would have been great ones to check, and also the struggling.
Mm-hmm.
One thing not heard, and I think you might have heard it, but not you didn't grab hold of it, is the influence from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions with regards to... So taking it to the next level is to do more clarity checks.
Mm-hmm.
Getting even more of the visual auditory. So there's, you got some information of what she says to herself, her beliefs, you got those. But I'm still not sure when she thinks of that, what is she, what does she see? What reference experiences does she use?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that so, why is that such a, why is that a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for questioning, we've got Pascal.
Yes. So.
Go ahead, Pascal.
Okay. I'm going to say what I heard, and what I heard is repetitive. This is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And let me begin. At level 3.5 in questioning, I heard two quality assurance questions, two quality control questions. One in which, where you said, is this make your life a party?
Mm-hmm.
Another one which I don't remember exactly, but I noted it. For a well-formed outcome, I wasn't sure you got the outcome, but you were asking the what question, and you asked why questions several times. You had several layers of why questions, which enabled you to get more into what was important to her. You asked the VA question, but it wasn't a well-formed outcome question. It really was about the present. Then you asked context. What's the context? So there are really 3 well-formed outcome types of questions that occurred for the outcome. The what, the why, and the what, and the context.
Mm.
Testing questions, I just heard 2
mm-hmm.
questions. Do you want to choose this? One was about coaching. One was about, do you want to choose this word? Actually, there were 3. I'm sorry. One was, is this in your power?
Mm.
Well, I also heard the same two clarity questions that you mentioned as possible. Checking, I heard four checking questions, and we had a lot of exploring questions, at least eight, where I stopped counting exploring questions. Then there were questions which I thought might have been leading. Like you said about a visionary. You said, that's quite a visionary. And then a little while later, he said, isn't it? But this was borderline. I felt that it could have been said as more of a question. Not more of a question. And I think that's it. Is there any, do you have any, so actually, if I was going to provide feedback on what you can do, what could be done to bring us to a higher level, I would ask, instead of asking VA questions about the present state, I would ask more questions about the strategy that you could be going through, questions around that, and more specific, like you asked about the context with regard to local outcome, I'd ask, you know, where to, more specific questions about where, when, and with whom in particular.
Mm.
I would ask more clarity questions about what you mean.
Mm.
Do you have any questions about anything?
The strategy part, could you elaborate on that?
Yes. So, when she hears the word retired, or thinks about the word retired, what goes on? What's the trigger of her behavior? She must be thinking things, feeling things, how does it affect what her behavior?
Mm-hmm.
I would ask, so, which leads her to feel a certain way, which doesn't sound like what exactly is that?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what, and what are her beliefs? So that's the first question. And then what her beliefs are about that? What does she believe about that? What her meditates about that? What does she believe about that? About that? Sort of like that. To get her into a more in the, when you said it was a party, it wasn't, I think it might have been better if she really got into the party. Also, into that experience of being there. So that she realized it really isn't. Maybe if you want to.
Super. Thank you, Pascal.
Okay, thank you, Pascal. Victoria, I think Pascal made a powerful point when he spoke about you know, when specifically, where specifically does this happen? So if you had gotten an example from Birgitta saying like, okay, do you like, when specifically does this bother come up for you? When does it bother you? So that you know, like, okay, it's in conversation. She mentioned something like that. It's in, like, when I talk to other people. So is it specifically when it comes up with other people, or is it also when you are, you know, working, or and that is going to tell you a lot more information. That's going to give you a lot more information about what's going on inside of her. So getting that example, that would have really grounded the conversation and made a difference.
Yeah.
Other than that, I pretty much have the same feedback under questioning. One thing that I think would have taken it to the next level is doing more testing questions and then bringing it back to the what in combination with, so first doing an acknowledgement, then analyzing what has been said so far to grab hold of, is this what is going on? Is that what we need to be talking about? Testing question, and then bringing it back to the what. And that, in a way, you can do that quite quickly. I noticed that because I obviously hear that a lot. Oh, 25 minutes is so short. And of course, 25 minutes, we don't expect you to necessarily make the change. But you can grab hold of something in those 25 minutes. And if right from the beginning, you do the larger acknowledgments, you check, okay, what's going on here, and you have that grounded in an example, then you're gonna speed it up a lot more. For meta questions, I counted 10 meta questions. Some examples were, what's holding that frame? What would that mean to you? What importance does that carry? What would that give you? So most of your questions were related to the why question. One question was, how does contributing relate to being retired? So those. And then what I would be curious about, so in this, once you've got it grounded, in this situation, let's say that it is someone else is using the word retired or implying that that means that you do nothing. What then goes on inside of Brigitta that makes her feel like she has to struggle against it?
As a meta question?
Yeah, so what do you believe about what the other person says that puts you in a state of, okay, I have to fight it or I have to struggle against it? Like asking more of those kinds of questions also gets you more information on what needs to be worked on. And that would just be like two or three more questions to reach level 2.5. Any questions around that?
No, I'm good. Yeah, you know, one question is that you said that I had like 10 meta questions and they were mostly related to the why. And do by that mean the why about the desired state, or was it the why in general?
No, how important is that to you? What does that give you? What more does that give you? What importance does that have? What would that give you?
It's about the desired state. The meta questions was mostly in desired state instead of being both in present and desired.
So figuring out the present state matrix, once you've grounded it in an example, is going to give you a lot more information on what to work on, and also shows you that dynamic. So how are you influenced by other people around you?
It sounds so easy when you're saying it.
Oh, yes. Doing it, trust me, that took me a while. So then as for state induction, in the beginning, your voice was pretty monotone. So you were asking a lot of questions, but exploring.
Can you just go rewind half a minute?
Absolutely.
In the beginning?
So in the beginning of the conversation, your voice was quite monotonous. So you were inducing state of reflection and exploring, but not any other states. Getting the example, that would have helped you get her into the state. I think it's easy for Brigitta to be in the present state as it is. But one state that would have been powerful is the step back state, to really induce that so that she's outside of her matrix. I noticed that you are very capable of using your voice because you did that towards the end of the conversation. So I would suggest doing more of that and inducing her into the... once you've got her away from the present state, and you've induced that that step back state, and also kind of like, okay, I don't want this anymore. Mm-hmm. Then you can move to the desired state and induce that. Mm-hmm. Because right now, like, she was the outcome that she wanted, and her desired state was still from within the problem. The solution came from within the problem rather than stepping back from the problem and grabbing hold of that and then going to the desired state.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about that?
Where would that put me on inducing state? What I did now?
I would say because we don't have the what, I would say on a level 1.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So using your voice and grounding the conversation so that you can feed that back to Birgitta.
Mm-hmm.
That would get you up to level 2.5.
I think I have a coaching session coming up on using my voice for some reason, because okay. Now I've been told to use my voice so many times and I don't know why I don't do it, so maybe, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Oh, well. Mm.
Yeah, that made a big difference for me, actually, because I was always afraid to use my voice and to induce states other than relaxation.
Yeah.
And once I kind of broke free and changed some of the frames I had around that, it made a big difference.
Yeah, and that's what I'm puzzled about. Maybe there are some frames holding me back from doing that. So that might be an interesting topic for a coming session.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, so overall, from the feedback that you've gotten, what is the main thing that you're going to take away that is going to make a difference in your next coaching session?
It is absolutely that I have to be more explorative into the present state and understand the present state more. For some reason, I think I tend to jump into desired state, and that I have to investigate more the part about the voice, and if there is something about inducing state in present state that I think I might be holding back a little bit in putting Kochi into a dark room.
Okay, yeah.
Because I have too much respect for carrying them out into the light and making sure that they have something good to continue their journey on. That might be put up some kind of block for me, but I have to reflect on that.
Yeah.
So very good input, especially on the present state and getting that what on the example clear to energize the funnel and get on with that. Very good.
Nice. Very, very good. Okay. So thank you, Victoria, for doing the coaching. And thank you, Birgitta, also. Birgitta, if you unmute yourself, what was the best thing that Victoria did that really made a difference for you?
I think one thing was to really get me to tell about what retired meant to me now, like getting down all the bad words. And also that I very much became aware of that I'm struggling, that I'm fighting it.
Yeah.
To show that I'm not retired.
Right.
So that was important for me to understand.
Okay, very good.
And then my wonderful solution. Okay, I have to find another wonderful solution.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. What was the one thing that you would like Victoria to have done or asked?
Also that question actually that you said, so when specifically does it happen? Give me an example when you like was knocked out by the word retired, but because it was last Thursday morning when we were on spinning, and afterwards, you know, a lady told me she was complaining a bit about her work because she didn't like it very much. And then she said that I was lucky because I was a pensionist. And then I said, no, I'm not a pensionist, I'm working.
Okay. Yeah.
So then she means that, okay, you are like, you can just go home and do what you want. And I worked hard to tell her that I was working.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was an example.
Very good. So that would have been great to ground it and to get some of your frames. What do you believe that puts you into working so hard to let her know that you're working?
Yeah. And to tell, you know, I'm a coach and I'm coaching people who are going to retire.
Yeah.
So now for the moment I'm coaching myself, yes.
Very good. Yeah, and so, I mean, it's just valuable to explore that more and get into that situation and, you know, ask someone to ask you the questions or just do some self-coaching around, okay, what's going on in that situation? When she says that, you're so lucky. That you're a pensioner. What does that trigger in you? Because that seems like the trigger. If someone else says, "Oh, something about you being a retiree,"
yeah.
Then what?
Like happy-go-lucky person.
Okay, and you don't.
I will be happy, but not happy-go-lucky. Whatever that
is. Okay. Yeah. So then the question is, because it puts you into a specific state, like a state of struggle or a state of...
I need to prove myself. I need to prove my worth.
Okay. So you have equated being a pensioner with not having any worth. In the eyes of others. Is it in your own eyes or is it in the eyes of others?
I think it's in the eyes of others because it's often when I discuss with other people and I have discussed as what shall I call my concept. And there's a lot of resistance of calling it senior coaching or pensionist coaching, and it's when I talk to people about the name, I meet resistance. I wouldn't like to be called a pensionist. I wouldn't like to be called an elder. I wouldn't like to be called retired.
So other people have that problem as well.
Yeah, so as well as me. But I think I'm very much influenced by that.
Yeah, because it sounds like what other people might think of your worth, that's what you're trying to work so hard at to like prove that you're still worth something. Interesting.
So I think there is some work to do with that, yes.
Exactly.
I mean, I was in England a few weeks ago and contributing to my daughter's exhibition. And then they had their people about 60 plus where we were making a performance together and photographed, and they were put on the website, elders making this performance. And elders, I don't want to be called elders.
Oh, okay. Several words that you don't like.
So.
Very good, Brigitte. Well, let us know how it goes, and you can always reach out on the MetaCoach group for someone to coach you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I also have my body coaches here. I mean, in the Coach Foundation Norway.
Exactly.
So Victoria, you can come there and be benchmarked, Victoria.
Yeah,
I will for sure. I will.
Yeah. We had a big day yesterday.
Yeah, very good. So thank you, Victoria and Brigitte. Any questions before we wrap up? Pascal, maybe?
No, I don't have
one. I have one, and that's coming a little bit back to feeling that 25 minutes is not a lot, and how to get the most value out of these sessions. Because on one hand, by really respecting what coachee is coming up with and going into the center of of the coaching, and the other thing is this technicality part about trying to it's being benchmarked and trying to get that right. Do any of you have some good inputs on what to focus on? Maybe it should be to go into the your groups, Birgitta, and get the technical benchmarking there, and then just focus on being in flow with the coaching session here, the 25 minutes. I don't know, but I can feel that I'm a little bit in between, and I'm not sure that is fruitful for me in my learning.
Right.
I believe that you get the best coaching when you are focused on the client and not on asking 12 meta questions and 4 clarifications. And so that I think that must be so well integrated.
Yeah.
That you do it anyway, because the most important thing for me is to help, support the client and be there with the client.
Mm-hmm.
And then perhaps one time you get 2.5 on supporting, and then the next time you get 2.5 on listening and so on. So perhaps you don't get everything at one time because it's different kinds of conversations.
Mm.
So. But you have 6 months from the first to the last benchmark.
Yeah, but you can say that time is up, so I didn't...
You can start now and get, if you get 2.5 on skills, for example, next 4th of January, and then you can continue and get more skills.
So Victoria, the way that I see it is that to make it really a lot simpler, because for example, with your meta coaching or your meta questions, you're really close. If you ask an example right from the beginning, then you grab hold of something. Because you didn't do that, then it kind of stays up in the air, and it can move, the conversation can move from one thing to the next. So grabbing hold of the example, asking meta questions around that, so that you can do testing questions. Is this what we need to be talking about? Bringing that back to the what question. And then all you really need to do is ask 5 ask 5 of the welcomed outcome questions. So you've already got the first three that we're looking for. If you had that example and done the testing questions and checked more of the clarity on what do you mean with identity, then you would have scored on all of those things, and only you needed to ask 2 more questions. What do you need to do to get there? And is that ecological? Okay. So the thing is that they seem to be opposites, like doing the technical parts and doing the technical part and getting something for your client and having being in the flow. Mm. But if you're in the flow and you focus on, hey, I've got my present state, I've got my desired state, let's do an analysis of what needs to be worked on, grabbing hold of that and bringing that down to get an outcome, that right there is what's going to get you the skills.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And also, you can always, if you want, you can always send in, Pascal has done that as well several times, send in a video for me to benchmark.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that we can work on that together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Perfect. So this was the last call for 2015. We start back up again. What is the date of that? I think January 5th. Let me see. Yes, January 5th. Yeah. So that's when we start back up again. Between Christmas and New Year, I'm not working. But before that, I will answer any questions that you have, and after that, of course, as well. So before we wrap up, any more questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay,
yeah, I have one.
Okay.
That's about the webinar you had last Friday. I believe I signed that I would participate, but I haven't got a link to the webinar.
Okay, because I did send out the email. I'll check to see.
Because Kristin had got it.
Yeah. So
Kristin got it, but I haven't.
Okay, so I'll take a look at what happened there and send you the link to the video.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll also look at the the uploaded webinars or last recording and put that on the page as well as form 32.
Super.
Okay, well, thanks people for being on the call today. Have a wonderful holiday season and all the best for the new year. And we start back up January 5th.
And the same for you. Enjoy the family and whoever is with you, all of you.
Will do.
Mm.
All
Take
right.
care.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.